Hey, America, welcome to the podcast. You are part of the deplorable majority. I am your ordinary average host, Scott Hall, and I want to thank you for listening in today. All right, folks. Well, first of all, it's been an interesting week, to say the least. The sham impeachment trial of former President Donald J. Trump has occupied most of the week in the Senate. I would think that the Senate, who voted on this as a constitutional, that it was constitutionally legal to do this, they might want to go back and read that constitution. They, you know, anytime you swear to uphold and defend a document, the founding document, you might want to understand what it means. And nowhere in the Constitution does it say that a former office holder can be impeached. Not that I've found. If you can find it, maybe you can let me know, and I'll certainly retract that. So I got to thinking a little bit this earlier today about some things, and I really thought that there are three things that every American should read, and I think it's important, and I think we've gotten away from reading these documents and understanding these things. First of all, I think the number one read anyone should undertake is to read the Bible. It's a book that contains all of life's answers to all of life's questions. It's the probably most read book of any books out there, I do believe. I've read that somewhere. The second thing that should be read is the Declaration of Independence. Document basically stating that, hey, we are going to commit treason against the king, who is a tyrant, and we don't want to live under your rules anymore. I think it's relevant today if we read that document, because there are some parallels that we can draw between what's going on currently in our government and what the Democrats' designs are for their agenda. And we can draw some definite conclusions. I read it a while back during the Obama administration, and I was able to connect some dots during that time period. So very good document to read. If you haven't read it in a while, maybe you want to dust it off and read it again. You can certainly find the text out there on the internet. So it's not hard to find. The other thing I would suggest that everyone read and understand is obviously the Constitution of the United States of America. It's a document that basically outlines the structure of our government. And I was watching a Ronald Reagan documentary the other day, and they were playing excerpts of his inauguration speech. And one of the things that stood out to me that he had said was that, and I'm going to paraphrase here, is that the America is a nation that has a government, whereas other countries are governments that have a nation. And I think if you read into that, what that says is that the government is appointed by the people. That's what a republic is. We're not necessarily a democracy, although we use a democratic process to elect officials into the government. But it is the will of the people to do so. And we get that turned around a little bit. We tend to let things go, and we things tend to become out of control, and we get to a point where we are now with the socialists and the progressives that want to take over, and they want to shove their agenda down our throats. And they need to remember who they work for. I've always been a proponent of term limitations, and I think that, you know, that's something that should always be on the table. You know, initially when they put the document, or when they formed our government, the representation of the people were to be short-lived stints in government, and it wasn't to be made up of career politicians, but rather normal everyday people, shopkeepers, farmers, merchants, would all take their turn if they were, if they sought election into an office, to represent the people. And I think that, you know, today we've got people that have been in there for decades, Nancy Pelosi's, Chuck Schumer's, even on the Republican side. I don't agree with lengthy terms and career politicians running our government. They become easily corruptible. They get power hungry, and they start to circumvent the instrumentalities that they are sworn to uphold and defend, that being the Constitution. They start bastardizing the Constitution, using it against itself to enact change that would benefit them and keep them in power. It's all about power to them, folks. And, you know, so hopefully someday that will change. That's just my hope and my opinion, and I would hope that we could get back to that at some point. I think that what we're seeing now is a movement that's unparalleled to anything that we've seen before, including the Tea Party, which was a mandate brought about by the Obama administration, what they were doing. excuse me. So perhaps some point along the way, we can get back to where government was supposed to be, how it was supposed to be formed and utilized and represented. One of the things that I want to read to you here, and it's an excerpt from the Declaration, and it's something that I first learned about in a movie, and it's spot on, and I think it's very relevant to today and today's times and what we're going through. So it reads like this: "But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security." I read that and I thought, you know what? I had to think about it for a little bit. And what I concluded, to be the meaning of that is that, you know, it's up to us. We are the people. We are the government. And we control, or should control, what goes on and what doesn't go on. There are a lot of, but we've gotten away from that. I think that we get complacent in terms of, we're going to go out and vote maybe every 2 years or every 4 years for a presidential election. And we kind of come, you know, that's the extent of our involvement when it comes to politics. And, you know, it's a lot more than that, folks. It's our duty that when things get out of hand, that we step in and we make changes. We have the power. I've said this before in other episodes, and I'll continue to say it. We have the power to change what's going on in America. You don't like the taxes, or you don't like what your teachers are teaching your kids in school. You know, maybe your son or daughter come home and hey, mom or dad, guess what I learned in school today? I learned that there are, you know, 85 different genders. And maybe that is not something you want your kids being taught in school. So you have the, so what do? You get involved at the school and you go to the meetings, you go to the school councils and their boards, and you get involved and you make sure that people that are elected to these school boards are people that are going to make sure that, that an agenda is not being pushed, rather your kids are being educated. And that's really, you know, when it comes to things like news and anything really, you know, I want to be able to make my own decisions. I don't want biased news, whether it be pro-conservative or pro-liberal. I just want the facts, and I'll make the determination on my own. I'll think it through, and I'll make that determination as to what I think that news is about. And we don't have news media in this country anymore that is so-called fair and balanced. It's all one-sided, and it's, you know, they are ministers and ministries of propaganda, pure and simple. They are aligned with the left. They are the mouthpieces of the left. They protect the left. Anytime, you know, there's a double standard that goes on. We're going to get into that here in just a moment. Double standards, that is. And, you know, just give it to me straight. Let me make my own decisions. Let me discern what I want from information that you provide, as long as it's neutral information. But I do think we've gotten away from that, and I think that's kind of a scary prospect. And but you know what? It's not over. And I think this movement that I'm talking about is the new conservative movement that that put Donald Trump in office to begin with 4 years ago. We, as conservatives, had enough. We had enough of both sides. We had enough of the establishment Republicans and the left and their willingness and desire to want to fundamentally change our country. And after 4 years of Obama, we had really come to our wits' end, and we decided to put somebody in there who wasn't a politician, who was an establishment. And I'm glad we did, because what he did in those 4 years was rip the cover off of a lot of issues and things that had been covered up. You know, his willingness to battle the media, his willingness to call the Democrat Party out for what they really were, has really inspired a lot of people. And when I say a lot of people, I would say that the 75 million that were willing to cast their vote for him in this past election. Unfortunately, things didn't work out for us the way we wanted to, but that doesn't mean that they don't have to in the past. And I think you see the efforts of big tech and media and others in media and others in Congress that are wanting to silence us. You know, they news just came out today that Donald Trump's Twitter account would be permanently banned, even if he were to win the presidency again in 2024. And I thought, well, you know, that's all well and good. You can take out one person, but this movement that I'm talking about, this surge of conservatism and the energy behind it, it's not just about one man. It's about nearly, if not more, than half of the country. And I think it's growing. And I think that, going back to that excerpt from the Declaration, that's happening. You know, we're making efforts and taking strides to change things. And it's a peaceful effort. it's a nonviolent effort, but it's certainly not a silent effort. And we need to, each and every one of us, let our voices be heard. Because if we're not willing to do that, then we're essentially willing to sacrifice everything that we hold near and dear, our freedoms, our liberties. You know, just the other day I read an article that came out of the legislature here in the state of Arizona, which is where I live, basically saying that they were going to give police the power to arrest folks simply for protesting, not necessarily causing any property damage or harming others or using insightful language, that they were just going to have the power to arrest you just for the sake of, just for you being out there protesting. That's scary, folks. That's Nazi Germany type stuff. Now, we can sit back and go, oh, well, you know, things will change in 4 years. We'll just vote for another president. No, the time to act is now. The time to get involved is now. And you have to figure out what that is, what your involvement should be, or what you want your involvement to be. But we can't sit idly by any longer and allow things to continue, because we're going to get to a point where we will never, I don't want to say never, but it would be decades before we would be able to elect another Republican into office. Or should I say another conservative in the office? And, you know, are you okay with that? Because I'm not. And that's why I'm doing this little podcast and hopefully reach a few people, and hopefully people can agree with me. Even if you don't agree with me, that's fine. It's not necessary for you to always agree with me. I'm just one guy with an opinion. And, you know, that's my contribution. And there are other things that I'll do outside of this that may involve potential taking steps politically. But we'll get into that later. We'll see what happens there. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about this trial, the sham impeachment, and I wanted to draw some comparisons. So I wanted to play some audio that I have for you, and I wanted to start out with playing it's a mashup of different voices from the left, basically doing the same thing that they're accusing President Trump of doing, which we know he did not. And we'll make that point here in just a moment. So I'm going to go ahead and play this now, and we'll get back in just a second.
Start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck? The
biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right off to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
This way. That's it right there, pulling up.
I have thought an awful lot.
about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
And that's our vice president.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Wow, I think there were some pretty prominent figures. I'm pretty sure that you were able to pick out a few of them. Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, all of the talking heads on CNN, MSNBC, and so forth and so on. So I don't know if I'm not a lawyer, but I tell you, if that's not insightful language, insightful rhetoric, I don't know what is. Now, in comparison, I'd like to play just a brief excerpt from President Trump's speech on January 6th, and this is the crux of their case against him.
Everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country.
So there you have it. I mean, I don't know where anybody got from that the president was inciting violence. He's doing everything that I'm suggesting we do as patriotic Americans, and that is take a very nonviolent approach to making our voices heard. The title of this episode today is not of violence nor of silence, and I think that's very appropriate. What happened to the Capitol should never have happened. But as time goes on and as things are uncovered and more investigation is done, there's, you know, more and more light's going to be shed on that event as to what happened and who's behind it and so forth and so on. I'm not excusing anyone from it. I think if there were people that were Trump supporters that happened to get caught up in the fervor of what was going on, then, you know, they should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. There's no cause for that. There's no cause for any violence anywhere. But yet, all throughout last year and last summer, when cities were burning and people were being murdered in these autonomous zones, nobody was jumping up and down screaming at that point. So I tell you, one thing that gets me really, really hot under the collar, and that's the hypocrisy and the double standard that comes from the left and the progressives. You know, it's do as I say, not as I do. And if you don't agree with me, then you're a racist, and you're a bigot, and you're a homophobe. Well, let me tell you something. I'm neither of those things. I never have been, and I never will be. And I will go out on a limb and say that the majority of the people that are in this movement and in this fight aren't either. It's just rhetoric, and it's got to stop. We've got to stand our ground, folks. If we don't, we're going to lose it. And I'm not ready to give up. You know, I want to live a simple life. I want to be able to enjoy the things that I enjoy, sports and you know, photography and things like that, things that I like to do in my free time. And I want to do it without a heavy helping of politics heaped on it. Everything's become political these days, and it's just, it's gotten way out of hand. But anyway, I digress. We're pretty much at the limit of the show for the showtime. I do want to read you a quick quote that I came across just the other day, and I think it's very relevant, and I hope that you would meditate on this for a little bit. And the quote is, if you don't try to create the future you want, you must endure the future you get. And it's a quote by John C. Maxwell. And folks, we need to take that to heart. You know, things aren't going to change on their own. God's put us in this time to perhaps change things and to change things for the better. He's not going to do it so that we're in a worse position or worse off than we were when we started. Keep your heads up. Keep the enthusiasm going. Let's not give up this fight. And yes, I'm using the word fight, and I'm using it figuratively, not literally. So anybody that's listening, I'm not inciting any type of violence. Okay? So I, again, want to thank everybody for listening. We are picking up listenership, and that's great. I had been putting an ad at the front of the beginning, at the start of the podcast, and I've decided I'm not going to do that. I don't want to monetize this at all. I don't want this to, it's not a money-making thing for me. I think it's my duty and my privilege and honor to be able to do this. So I don't want to get into the I need to make money off this thing yet. And I think it's better off that way. I do want to include some links in the show notes to businesses and people that I think, charitable organizations that, if you're so inclined, you want to give to those organizations or purchase products from these particular individuals or businesses, please feel free to do so. I will be including those in the show notes. So with that, we're going to go ahead and end the show. I want to remind you to please be sure to visit the show page. And if you want to, go ahead and leave a recorded message. You can provide feedback to me. You can ask questions, and we can feature you on the show as well. You can also visit the Twitter and Facebook pages as well, and those links will be in the show notes. Folks, again, keep up the good work. We're going to get through this together. We're not going to get through it individually. We're going to get through it together. So with that, guys, keep on rolling. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.